Thursday Night Tailgate, where the spotlight is always on the positive. Tune in Thursday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time to hear your favorite NFL legends, players, and coaches sharing their stories. Now back to Chris and Bob.
I wouldn't joke about anything else that happened to you tonight.
And now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is former University of Georgia head coach Ray Goff. Let me remind you about coach's background. He's from Moultrie, Georgia, which is in the southwestern part of the state. Played his college ball at the University of Georgia, where he was the quarterback from 1974 to 1976, and led the Bulldogs to 19 wins over his last two seasons. He was named the SEC Player of the Year in 1976 when the Bulldogs won the SEC title, and he finished seventh that year in the Heisman voting. Started out his college coaching career as an assistant at the University of South Carolina. Came back to Georgia in 1981 and worked his way up the coaching ranks from recruiting coordinator to tight ends coach to running backs coach. And when Vince Dooley retired after the 1988 season, Coach Goff took over. He was the head coach at Georgia from 1989 to 1995 and finished with a 46-34-1 record. He's a member of the University of Georgia Hall of Fame, the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, and the Florida Georgia Hall of Fame. And we're excited that he is back with us again tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Good evening, Coach. Chris and Bob here. Thanks for coming back on the show.
Hey, Ray.
Well, thank you for having me, Chris. You and Bob both. I mean, there's a lot of folks you could choose, and I'm probably not top of the line, but I appreciate the opportunity, and thank you for what y'all do.
Well, we appreciate you very much, Coach. So, Coach, I want to start out our time with you tonight by getting your thoughts on the Bulldog season so far. After they lost to LSU, I think some folks around here in Atlanta were saying, well, you know, maybe this team's a little too young. Their starting quarterback is a sophomore. His backup is a freshman. They're outside of their center, the offensive line are freshmen and sophomores. Maybe this team's a little too young to get back to a playoff. What do you think? What are your thoughts? How do you think they're playing so far this year, and how do you think their season's going to finish out?
Well, I think they played pretty good. I mean, obviously they had a stumble against LSU, and LSU was good. LSU's a good football team, and they jumped on them and played extremely well. And unfortunately, Fromm, our quarterback, just had one of those days where things just didn't go as well as he would want. And he's played extremely well for us through the year, the last year and a half. And, you know, I think they'll come back and do well. And, you know, I'm proud of where they are and what they've done. And you got to give those players a lot of credit. They've got a lot of young offensive linemen, and and that's a big key. But I think we'll be pretty good. I think we've got Kentucky coming up, and I think we'll do pretty well against them. And I'm just proud of them. I think Kirby and his staff has done a great job.
And Coach, to your point, they got Kentucky and then Auburn over the next couple of weeks. Either one of those do you think is going to be a huge threat to Georgia's ability to get themselves back to an SEC championship game?
Well, I think where they're sitting, I think they're in pretty good position. And, Auburn, I think, and Kentucky both are playing well this year. Auburn struggled early in the year a couple of times and got beat. But they can beat you. And you got to be very careful. And the good thing is we play them in Athens, and that helps. But, Kentucky is kind of a come out of nowhere this year. And, they've played extremely well, too. So anytime you play in the SEC, you better be prepared because you can get your butt beat in a hurry.
Bob, questions for Coach?
It's always great to speak with you, Coach. Thanks for coming back on. And I want to ask you tonight, Ray, about your approach to recruiting back in the day. We've talked to so many guys that they look obviously for football talent, but many guys covet those people that were all around great athletes in high school and everything. Did you guys have a certain recipe for recruiting? I'm sure character comes into it too, but talk about your recruiting days at Georgia.
Well, back in those days, of course, obviously, you look for good players and you look for good students and kids that were good young men that you that weren't going to have problems with, or at least you hoped you did. You can never tell what's going to go on in a young man's mind. I mean, I look back at my college career, and obviously I did things that I never thought I'd do in my life, but sometimes you kind of get off the reservation. But the recruiting was a lot different then. You had unlimited visits. I mean, you could go see a kid 3 days a week, 5 days a week, or do what you want to, but today you've got so many rules and so many guidelines that it's just a it's a different world today in recruiting and coaching than it was in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. It's just totally a different game as well.
And Ray, you were fortunate enough to coach in four different bowls, and I always wondered, and you actually won a few of them, and I was always wondering that big gap between the end of the season to some bowls. To me, it would seem that really would stress upon coaches as far as keeping guys interested, practices and everything. Did you ever find that a problem, Ray, as far as the time frame when you had to coach in a bowl game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a big, I mean, you just don't know what to expect when the game starts, the bowl game, because you hadn't played a game in 4 weeks, 4 to 5 weeks. And all of a sudden you come out after a 4 or 5 week layoff and, you know, you really don't know what to suspect. And, you know, and that's why a lot of the bowl games sometimes are blowouts and teams get upset. But, you know, it's tough to sit out 5 weeks and not play a game. Because, you know, nowadays you don't have a lot of numbers, so guys today probably can't do what we could have done back in the 70s, but you could scrimmage against the freshmen, things of that nature in those days. But now you don't have the freshmen that you had when I was a player and came through at Georgia. So I think it makes a big difference, and I think it's more difficult to play in a bowl game because of that, the big layoff, than ever before.
Coach, Georgia has two really good quarterbacks. You mentioned Fromm a few minutes ago and Justin Fields as a freshman coming in. Having two great quarterbacks or two very talented quarterbacks is a great problem to have. Unfortunately, down the road, you got to think, since Fromm's a sophomore and Fields is a freshman, there's only so many snaps, there's only so many opportunities to play. How do you keep both of those guys, and Fromm being the starter now, but how do you keep Fields interested in being a part of a Bulldogs team that he may not actually get to start until he's a senior?
You know, I don't think it's just at Georgia. I think it's a little bit everywhere. I mean, you know, you got two really good quarterbacks and the second guy wants to play. And I understand that. I was the second guy my sophomore year behind a player by the name of Matt Robinson. And yeah, I wanted to play just like he did. But today, instead of competing and challenging and working and doing things of that nature, I mean, kids just transfer. They go to another school and where they think they can be a starter. And, you know, I think there's a lot of, you know, when I was at Georgia in the 70s, there was a little bit of loyalty to Georgia. And I'm not saying that kids aren't loyal. I don't mean that. But, you know, they also want to play. And so you see kids transferring. And I think that's a problem. It's a huge problem for colleges. And, you know, I know when I was coaching, we had a player by the name of Eric Zier, but we went down to our fourth-string quarterback one of my years. And, you know, with your fourth-string guy obviously isn't as good as your first-team guy. But, you know, you need to have a great backup quarterback because at some point in time, you're going to have to call on him and you're going to need him. And he's going to might have to finish out the year. You just never know.
Coach, curious to get your thoughts. When you look around the SEC, obviously Alabama sits at the top and Nick Saban, and they've had a huge amount of success over the last couple of decades. When you look at their program, what allows Saban and Alabama to continue to play for national championships, it seems like year in and year out? What do they do that's so much different or better than everybody else?
You know, I don't really know what they do that's better than anybody else, but I do know that they do a great job, first of all, of evaluating players and coaching players. I mean, they just do an outstanding job. And for Coach Saban, and I ran into him, I guess about 6 months, doing something for Gene Stallings, who was a close friend of mine when I was coaching at Georgia and he was at Alabama. But Coach Saban is, I think he's the best coach there is in college football today. I mean, I just think he does an outstanding job, first of all, of recruiting and evaluating players, and he keeps his thumb on them. And they do what he expects them to do, and they do what he wants them to do. And I think he's an outstanding football coach, and, you know, I think he's done a great job at Alabama. And I think it's going to continue. And I don't mean that with any disrespect of him, but for other people. I mean, you look at them this year and they're beating people by 20, 30, 40 points a game. And, you know, he just does a great job and his players respond to the challenge.
And Coach, as I mentioned in your intro, you're in a slew of local Hall of Fames, including the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame, and you got inducted there back in 2011. Curious what it feels like when that phone rings and they're telling you that, congratulations, Coach, we want to put you in the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame. What's that like?
Well, it's, you know, it's, you know, I love the University of Georgia and I love the people of the state of Georgia. So to be able to be selected to me for the Georgia Sports Hall of Fame years ago, I mean, it was really a moving experience for me. It was not as a coach, obviously, because, you know, my record would not have gotten me in, but it was because of as a player that I got in. And, you know, and I just appreciate the people of the state of Georgia because I love the state. I think it's the best.
Bob Moore for Coach.
And Coach, we've talked in the past about your relationship with Vince Dooley, and but I think our listeners would like to hear more about what he meant to you, what he meant for the state of Georgia, and what he passed on to you as far as from a coaching philosophy.
You know, it's I played for Coach Dooley, and when I played for him, you know, I really didn't like him a whole lot. I mean, he was hard, and he was very disciplined. And he always taught you as a player to never overestimate anybody. And I'll never forget, and I can't remember who we played one year, but it was one of a team that we should have beaten back in the 70s. And he got up and he preached to us the first day we started preparing for him. And he said, they got the best onside kicking team in the country. And, you know, and of course, we all laughed about it and joked, and we wound up playing them, and they kicked two onside kicks at the end of the game and almost beat us. And, of course, he got us in the dressing room, and he just wore us out. He said, I told you they had the best onside kicking team in the country. And he was right. And it taught us to always respect your opponent and always realize that they're going to be at their best when they play you, and you need to be at your best. And, you know, and then I coached for him as an assistant coach and learned a lot from him. And then obviously I followed him, and he was my boss, and he obviously he fired me, and he should have. I have no qualms about that whatsoever. And I have a lot of respect for him, respect for what he did for Georgia and what he continues to do.
And Ray, as a head coach, there's a lot, you have to obviously be a great organizer, and certain guys lean toward the defensive or offensive sides. For yourself, was that always an issue? I mean, to try to keep, your finger and hand on everything as opposed to maybe watching the offense a little bit too much?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was an offensive guy, so, you know, I probably spent more time with offense and, mm-hmm. You know, with the offensive coaches and as opposed to the defensive side of the football, and no disrespect for anybody that was a defensive coach for me. They did a great job and they recruited well and did a good job. But, I think most guys like myself, I mean, that's what you feel comfortable with and that's kind of what you spend more time with. And at least I did and, with our coaches, but, I was fortunate and blessed to have some really great coaches with me, and I'm very appreciative of them and for what they did and what they meant to the university. And, you know, had some great players. You know, we've got I think it's five or six guys that played for me that are now head coaches in all around the country. So, you know, we did something right. At least we recruited high school coaches' kids, and that, you know, we always thought their coaches, their fathers would, they knew and understood the game of football. And so we had four or five of those guys, and all of them are head coaches now in college, or most of them are, they are head coaches in college football.
Coach, one more before we let you go. And just curious, looking back over all the years that you've been affiliated with the University of Georgia and obviously the football program, when you're talking to friends, boosters, you know, recruits, is there a favorite story you'd like to make sure you tell them?
No, you know, I've got a lot of stories, but I don't, not really. I mean, I just enjoyed, I mean, I came from a little small town in South Georgia called Moultrie, which is Colquitt County, and it's probably the number one school in the state of Georgia for high school football now. They've done a great job down there, and they're playing extremely well, and I think they're in the top five in the nation as far as rankings, but, you know, I just appreciate the people of the state of Georgia. I mean, it really is. We, you know, they just do so much for you, and they support you, and it's just a great place to go to school, and it's a great place to play college football, and you know, and I live there to this day. I live right outside of Athens, and I don't think I'd want to live anywhere else in the country.
Well, Coach, it's always a thrill for Bob and I to get to spend some time with you. Thank you so much for taking time out of your night to come back and be a part of the show. We hope you'll come back and join us again soon, because it's always a lot of fun.
Thank you, Chris. And tell Bob, I appreciate y'all allowing me to be here. And thank you. And thank y'all for what you do for college football.
Thank you,
Coach. Take care, Coach. All the best to you and your family. We'll catch up soon.
Yes, sir. God bless.
That is former University of Georgia head coach Ray Goff. Always a lot of fun spending a little bit of time with Coach Goff, Bob.
Yeah, he great memories, great players, and the whole Vince Dooley thing. That's a legend in college football. But it's just anytime we get a coach, any kind of college coach, as you know, Willie Simmons to Ray Goff, we can keep going, Chris. These guys are great to talk to. Everyone has a different philosophy, but it's all about coming together and molding men, right?
Indeed it is. All right, coming up here in hour number two on Thursday Night Tailgate, we're going to be joined by Carrie Glenn and Nick Athan. Before we get to Carrie, I want to give a shout-out to our friends over at the Gridiron Greats organization. Folks, please help a wonderful cause that's taking care of so many of the guys that left so much of themselves out on the field. Remember, folks, these are the guys who played way back when they still had to get off-season jobs to support themselves and their families. It's organizations like this one that was started by Mike Ditka, again, the Gridiron Greats, who are there trying to help the guys we all grew up watching and reading about. Go online to gridirongreats.org to see what you can do to get involved.